Good morning. It is good to be out on this chilly morning, and there's no better reason to get out than to come to worship the God of heaven together. There is nothing that you're going to do this week that's more important than this. We seek to worship our Heavenly Father as the Bible commands us in John chapter 4 and verse 24, both in spirit and in truth. I hope you're here with the right attitude today, the right spirit. I hope you are here because God is supreme, the King of kings, the Lord of lords through Jesus Christ. He's creator of all things, and you're here to honor him. That is the right attitude. And we're going to do that according to truth. Worship him in spirit and truth. I tell you, if you want an outline of this morning's sermon, you're going to find it in Luke chapter 2. We'll turn there in a minute and read. Luke chapter 2. There's not much written. In fact, there's Luke chapter 2 written when it comes to the childhood of Jesus. Not much known. There are lots of stories, lots of made-up things, lots of imaginative things, but very little when it comes to truth. One of the reasons I love Luke chapter 2 so much is probably because of Matthew 18. You know, Matthew 18, the disciples were arguing. They're arguing about who's the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's the greatest? And what Jesus does is, you remember he brings a little child and sits him in the midst of them. Says, you have to become like this little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. This was amazing on so many levels. One of which, you're talking about a culture and a society and a religion which stresses, the Jewish system stressed learning the Mosaic codes and the rules and being an adult, and even the Levitical priest system. You had to be so old before you could serve as a priest in the temple. There were rules about these things. And so really when it came to being someone in religion and someone who was great, you'd think he would say, oh, well, the great rabbis, they're the ones that are greatest in the kingdom of God. They're the ones. They've attained the degrees, you see. They have the doctorates behind their names. They've sacrificed so much. But Jesus calls a child. And says, you must become like this little child. How many of you been shopping? All of us, right, have been shopping somewhere. Maybe you haven't. But this is the season where if you go shopping, you're going to see lots of people in the stores. And you may have seen some little children acting in such a way that is not like the kingdom of God, right? Children who maybe they're excited or upset or throwing a tantrum. If you've been shopping much, you've seen that. Not my child, your child. I tell you, four children have come through our house. You see the wonderful and you see the not so wonderful. What's the wonderful? What is this? You have to become like a little child. You know, he goes on to explain it in verse 4. He says, you must humble yourself. Humble yourself like this little child. How are small children humble? Now, I know I taught this Luke chapter 2, and 12 years old, I don't think, is probably what we're talking about as a little child. I think there's some separation there. But what you have is Jesus talks about humility like a little child. A little child may at times throw a temper tantrum. They may get upset. But he talks about the humility of a child. And when it comes to the humility of a small child, I have noted in my house, when the children were small, all they wanted to do was help mama and to help daddy. They were little helpers, right? Daddy, can I help? Mama, can I help? Mama, can I help cook? Flour all over the kitchen. Daddy, can I help with this or that? Of course, yes. And there's trouble ensues from that. But it's joyous. It's the child wanting to help and be subservient and do everything they can. Jesus talks about that humility in Matthew 18. But we see it, even though Jesus is 12 in Luke 2, we see this humility and this attitude of service in Jesus as a child. In fact, we see some important lessons about Jesus in Luke chapter 2. We understand that this text, verses 40 and following, is really, we're talking about, as some call it, this section of Scripture, the lesson of the lost Christ, right? That's a good title. We're going to notice some things about the lost Christ, but they went to the Feast of the Passover every year, as they were supposed to as Jews in Jerusalem. Now remember, if you were a faithful Jew in the first century, well really, from the law of Moses when it was given all the way through, there were three times per year that if you were at all able, you were supposed to travel to Jerusalem to the temple. This was one of those days, the Feast of the Passover. And so they went. And they did that. And then they were going home. Now, understand, if we're talking about going to Jerusalem, Joseph and Mary would have went with family and friends. Safety in numbers and traveling, I suppose. And if you're a faithful Jew, born of faithful Jews, your family, all of them that can, are going to go to Jerusalem with you. And as they start to go home, they don't even think to ask, where is Jesus? Because obviously he's amongst our caravan, right? He's amongst our group. That was the idea. But after some time passes, they come to understand, where's the boy? I don't see, is he with you? Do you have him? Is he with you? Where is Jesus? And he was not to be found. Now at this point, you can imagine things are getting intense. And they go back and they look for Jesus. But he's not in the first place they look. In fact, he's probably not in the 50th place they look. And they're looking for him for days now. And they find him finally at the temple. You know what he's doing? At 12 years old, as a child, he is asking and answering questions of the wise men of the temple. You know those men who had the degrees. Those men who had the schooling and the learning and the knowledge. You have a 12-year-old boy who we don't need to think that Jesus, when he was born on this earth, had all knowledge. He didn't. He became man. He became flesh. Now the text does tell us he was growing in wisdom and growing in knowledge. But he could know enough at 12 to ask and answer questions that amazed those men as to his knowledge at the age of 12. Friends, a little truth goes a long way. We make a mistake if we think our children can't understand meaty morsels of truth. I tell you what, we need to give them that as soon as they're old enough to understand. When can I teach my child principles of truth that they can understand? I tell you what, I suppose you could read the Bible to them while they're still in their mother's belly. But I know this, it's kind of like answering this question. When can I expect my child to sit in church and pay attention? You know when? I'll tell you when. Whenever a small child has the ability to sit and watch a movie in the living room for an hour and a half without even blinking, right? When they have the ability to do that, they have the ability to sit and to listen and to learn because they just soak it up. That's when they have the ability. They may not have the want to, but they have the ability at that point. And start teaching them lessons and principles of truth that they can hold on to and be like an anchor for the rest of their life. Give it to them then. Jesus at 12 years old was talking with doctors and masters of the law. Now, let's look at how he became lost, when, how, and where, and how he was found. This puts us back in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, let's read a few verses together. We have in verse 40, talking about Jesus, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. That strong in spirit means it's a reference to the inner man. It's what makes you, you. How many of you remember Christopher Reeve? Nod your head if you do. I'm not asking for a show of hands. You know, he played Superman back in the, late 70s, early 80s, something like that. Y'all remember Christopher Reeve. What happened to him is he was playing polo. And it's this guy who was 6'4", 225 pounds, athletic guy, fit, playing polo, had an accident, fell off, broke his neck. He survived, but he was quadriplegic. He lost use of everything below his neck and had to have a ventilator to help him breathe. But he lived in a wheelchair for many years. Passed away a few years ago. He could talk. He even acted a little bit more. He could do things on his computer with a mouthpiece. He could speak into it. He could do those things. The reason I bring up Christopher Reeve is it was after he was recovering as much as he could. And he was giving interviews after his accident, after he had some time to rehab. And he said, you know what I learned? What did you learn from this act? What did you learn from this situation, Mr. Reeve? He goes, I learned that a man is not his body. I've learned that a man is not the meat and the bone. I've learned that what a man is what he is on the inside. Strong, athletic, vibrant, famous man, broke his neck, lost use of all those other things. And he said, I learned that what a man really is what he is on the inside. Jesus, as a boy, was growing in his spirit. He was growing in what made him him. We need to focus on what makes us us. Tempering that with the Word of God. Tempering that with truth. But what we are is not our height. What we are is not our weight.